The 9/11 Commission continues a very old Washington tradition, one that goes back to a panel George Washington appointed to look into the causes of the Whiskey Rebellion. The challenges facing these semi-independent commissions are many. NPR's Larry Abramson reports that chief among those challenges is to make sure that the final report isn't thrown in the trash.
When President Bush faced accusations that his administration had muffed numerous intelligence assessments, he did what many presidents have done. He asked an independent commission to figure it out.
The commission I've appointed today will examine intelligence on weapons of mass destruction and related 21st century threats and issue specific recommendations to ensure our capabilities are strong.
Thus, the president was able to show he is serious about fixing a problem without obligating the administration to do anything at all. Historian Locke Johnson of the University of Georgia says many commission reports end up in the circular file.
It's almost as though the purpose was to delay or convince the public that the White House is actually trying to do something with respect to a problem, whereas in fact, once the report is presented to the president could care less about it.
And over the years, Congress has tried to limit the number of advisory commissions out of concern that these bodies are a way to avoid taking action or are simply wasting money. Clearly, some commissions are thrown at problems that are too hot for Congress or anyone else in Washington to tackle, like Social Security reform. But some panels have left a lasting mark on the study of issues as intractable as poverty.
Our nation is moving toward two societies, one black, one white, separate and unequal.
Former Illinois Governor Otto Kerner in 1968, reading from the report of the National Advisory Commission on Civil Disorders. That panel's analysis hardly solved the problems of poverty and inequality, but it helped dispel the notion that outside agitators had sparked the riots of the mid-60s. Historian Locke Johnson says the same is true of the Scranton Commission on Campus Unrest.
President Nixon was convinced, for example, that the students were unhappy with him because they were being paid by the KGB or some other Soviet unit to protest against his administration. The Scranton Commission found out that this was homegrown protest, and these young protesters on campus just didn't like the war in Vietnam and didn't want to go fight it.
It was a lot tougher to provide certainty after the assassination of JFK.
There was no evidence found by the commission that proved a conspiracy, either foreign or domestic. Oswald acted alone.
Gerald Ford's summary of the Warren Commission's findings may have persuaded some people there was no conspiracy, but the report also created a cottage industry for those who thought the story was a lot more interesting than that. The decision to look for advice from outside the government can easily backfire, as President Clinton found out when he appointed a member of his inner circle to head a health care task force.
I think that in the coming months, the American people will learn, as the people of our state did, that we have a first lady of many talents, but who most of all can bring people together around complex and difficult issues to hammer out consensus and get things done.
The healthcare task force got little done, unless you count the litigation it generated from groups who felt the body violated public disclosure laws by meeting in secret. The 9/11 Commission has gone to great lengths to avoid that fate by remaining as transparent as possible. The panel has held a series of public hearings, made preliminary conclusions available months before its final report, not to mention the regular parade of commissioners on news shows. Former CIA Director James Woolsey says openness is good, but he feels that the 9/11 Commission has created a new problem.
It is very, very hard for people to say something and then back off of it and say, you know, I may have been wrong about that. You've got a good point if you're doing it in public.
Woolsey, now with the consulting firm Booz Allen Hamilton, is a veteran of five commissions on everything from missile technology to federal ethics laws. He says he's not really clear why he keeps getting tapped for the job. He suspects it's because he's a Scoop Jackson Democrat, a liberal hawk whose presence helps ensure a nonpartisan approach to national security issues. Much more important than party affiliation, he says, is temperament.
You want people who are first and foremost trying to work on the problem as distinct from making a name for themselves or getting attention or being dramatic.
Woolsey says he feels his experiences tackling the nation's problems as a commission member were pretty satisfying and that people paid attention to his recommendations, except for once. Woolsey says the findings of the Bremer Commission in the year 2000 were completely ignored, that is, until after 9/11, when many recommendations of the Commission on Terrorism were adopted. Larry Abramson, NPR News, Washington.